every year on Palm Sunday, I feel like things move so quickly. We go from our beautiful gathering with our palm branches where we hear of cries of Hosanna and welcoming Jesus into the holy city, and he enters in triumph as the King of Kings into his own city, and the crowds are all on his side, and people are cutting palm branches and throwing their cloaks on the road to welcome him, and it's all so wonderful. And then in the course of our liturgy, just a few moments later, we're hearing, my God, why have you abandoned me? And Jesus is dead on the cross and buried in the tomb, and the stone is there with a seal and a guard, and it's all over. And all that in the course of just about half an hour of our liturgy. It seems way too fast. It's too much to take in such a short time, the entire passion and death of Jesus. But of course, we're not meant to take it in just in this little half hour this morning. We know that the historical events took place over the course of this entire week, the week that we simply call Holy Week. We know that where we're at now, finishing the gospel, will not actually take place until the end of Friday. The church kind of gives us this day then as it were an overview, kind of a preview of what is going to take place this week. And I invite you then in this Holy Week that begins today to try to make this a week that is different from other weeks, that you would kind of walk with Jesus through this week. Most especially, beginning Thursday evening, we begin the holiest 3 days of the year. The season of Lent ends on Thursday evening, and we begin what are called the Great 3 Days, Triduum in Latin, Triduum. I often refer people to the idea of the Super Bowl when it's coming. All you have to do during the week before the Super Bowl is talk about the game. Are you going to watch the game? And everybody knows what the game is. In a lot of ways, it's similar for us as Catholics this week. When we talk about the 3 days, every Catholic knows what you mean by the 3 days. It's the biggest 3 days of the year. Beginning on the evening of Thursday, we remember that night 2,000 years ago when Jesus went to the upper room and there for the first time took bread and wine and said those words, "This is my body, this is my blood," instituting the sacraments of the Eucharist and the priesthood on that night. And so we too will gather Thursday evening at Our Lady of Lourdes Church in Lacine, and there we will go to our upper room, as it were, our church, and we will do as Jesus commanded us to do almost 2,000 years ago. At the end of that Mass commemorating the Last Supper, we don't end in the usual way, though. We end in a very special way in which we have a solemn Eucharistic procession. The Eucharist that night is consecrated and left on the altar, and then it's taken from the main altar to a second altar of repose, as it's called. They're in a solemn procession. And this journey of processing with the Eucharist from one altar to another place is meant for us to symbolically, just as we walk symbolically the Palm Sunday procession today, we are meant symbolically to go from the upper room of the Last Supper and walk with Jesus out to the Garden of Gethsemane. We read just now in the scriptures that after singing a hymn at the Last Supper, they went out to the Garden of Gethsemane at night. And so we too are called to follow Jesus in the Eucharist to the altar of repose, and it represents for us on that night the Garden of Gethsemane. And there we hear Jesus say to us, as he said to his apostles that night, "Stay, watch, pray." And perhaps, sadly, we too, at many times in our life, don't heed the Lord's words and fall asleep and doze as the apostles did and have to hear Jesus plead with us as he did them, "Can you not stay and watch with me for 1 hour?" 1 hour. This is the origin of the Eucharistic Holy Hour, to spend an hour with Jesus in the Eucharist, and especially on that Holy Thursday night. There's the beautiful tradition of remaining in prayer at the altar of repose to watch with Jesus in the garden, to try to do better than the apostles did on that first Holy Thursday night. On Good Friday morning, there's nothing to be done. We know that Jesus would have been before Caiaphas and then Pilate would have been led out to crucifixion. On that day, from the hours of noon until 3 especially, these are the hours that we just read that Jesus hung upon the cross. These tre ore, these 3 hours then, I invite you, whatever you're doing on that day, to try to find some time, at least between 12 and 3, to go off by yourself, to be able to pray. We will celebrate the Stations of the Cross at noon out at St. Rose Philippine Duchesne Memorial Park. If you've been there, there's a beautiful little trail through the woods with waypoints of the Stations of the Cross. And so at noon, we'll gather there to begin the 3 hours. Ideally, the liturgy of Good Friday would be celebrated at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the hour Jesus died. Unfortunately, today in our society anyway, we seldom have Good Friday as a holiday, and so many people are not available at 3 in the afternoon. So we're allowed to move that day's liturgy to the evening, and so at 7 o'clock Friday evening here at St. Philip's, we will celebrate not Mass, because there is no Mass on Good Friday, that one day out of the year, but instead we celebrate the solemn commemoration of the Lord's Passion. We will read the account of Jesus' death according to St. John on that day. And then perhaps the most moving moment of that liturgy is the veneration of the cross. This dates to a tradition in Jerusalem where they had an actual piece of the cross on which Jesus was crucified, and on Good Friday they would bring it out to kiss it and venerate it. We will use a replica of the cross on which Jesus died. But it allows us on Good Friday to give thanks for what Jesus did and to offer our contrition, our apologies, that it was our sins who caused this. At the end of that very solemn but powerful liturgy, there's no dismissal. We simply depart in silence, it says. And there we are called to continue our fast. Good Friday, of course, being a day of fasting and abstinence according to the law, but we're also called to continue that fast then into on Holy Saturday if possible, because on Saturday we recognize the day on which the Lord of the universe, the bridegroom, was taken away and slept in the tomb. On Saturday we too, like the holy apostles, watch and wait at the tomb of Jesus. But then as evening gives way to night and darkness covers the earth, on that sacred night, the church celebrates the most important liturgy of the entire year, the solemn vigil of Easter in the holy night. There in the darkness, like the tomb in which Jesus rested, we kindle the new fire of Easter, and we light the Paschal candle to symbolize Jesus' resurrection from the dead. This is a tradition that goes back to the time of the very early Christians. We know that on Easter night, they would gather in the darkness, and there they would read the scriptures, they'd read the stories, and we know that Jesus rose from the dead on that night. Notice that Easter Sunday morning, Jesus is already gone. He's already been raised while it's still dark in the morning when Mary Magdalene comes. We know that Jesus rose from the dead during the night. And so the apostles, the early disciples, gathered in a solemn vigil over the course of the night, there to welcome the first rays of Jesus' resurrection. We too continue that tradition today in that the liturgy of the Easter Vigil is unique amongst the entire year. There are things we do that night that we only do once a year. And it is a vigil, which means to keep a night watch. So it begins after dark. We'll begin at 9 o'clock p.m. down at Sacred Heart in Mound City. And there we'll celebrate reading the stories from the scriptures as the early disciples did. We'll welcome new Christians through baptism and new Catholics for reception into a full communion as the church rejoices not just in the new life of Jesus raised from the dead, but new life in baptism, new grace given in the Easter sacraments. It is the most joyous liturgy of the entire year. And in that night we celebrate then the first Eucharist of Jesus raised from the dead. I invite you, if you've never been to the Easter Vigil, especially to come this year. For the early church, this was the Easter liturgy. There was no sunrise service or anything else on Easter Day because this was how you kept Easter, a night watch with the solemn Eucharist in the morning. We won't go all the way till morning, but I do invite you on Saturday to take a nap, get some rest, because we'll start at 9 and it will go a couple hours at least as we celebrate these special things. And I really invite you to take part in all these liturgies. It's only required by the law that you would show up next Sunday and celebrate Easter. It's the day of obligation. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, these are not days of obligation. But I think for good reason the church left those as not days of obligation, because they're too holy for that. If you don't want to be there for these most special days, the church isn't going to force you to be. And surely our work schedules might not allow. But if your schedules allow, and maybe even if you have to move things around a little bit, I invite you as much as possible to gather with the community for these special liturgies on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday night. And even if you can't, I invite you not to let this week be just an ordinary week. There's good reason that we call this week holy. It means set apart. So set this week apart for you and your family. Don't let it just go by. It's a week that is so special that the whole church simply says, this is the week set apart, Sanctus, Holy Week. And these 3 days that we are about to celebrate are so holy that the church simply calls them Triduum, the 3 days.